Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Neogen Chemicals Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on the touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Neogen Chemicals Q2 FY26 earnings conference call for analysts and investors. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Anurag Surana, Non-Executive Chairman, Dr. Harin Kanani, Managing Director, and Mr. Gopikrishnan Sarathy, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin the call with opening thoughts from the management team, after which we'll open the floor for your questions. Before we begin, a standard disclaimer: certain statements made or discussed today may be forward-looking. Actual results could vary, and a detailed disclaimer is available in Q2 FY26 earnings presentation, which has been shared and uploaded on stock exchange websites. With that, I would like to invite Dr. Harin Kanani to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Q2 FY26 earnings call. We will walk you through performance and provide updates on strategic growth and expansion initiatives. Operational resilience defined our Q2 FY26 performance. The temporary impact of the Dahej plant outage was effectively neutralized through a rapid pivot. Production was swiftly relocated to our alternate plant and supplemented by capacity from key outsource partners. While this strategic maneuver ensured we maintained our volume trajectory, it did incur additional temporary costs related to contingency production arrangements and plant rebuild expenses until the insurance claim is fully recovered. Some of these costs associated with loss of profit will be claimed in FY27, aligning with the planned resumption of operations at the Dahej SEZ organic plant. Having said that, our core business sustained its market position and achieved stability, navigating persistent geopolitical uncertainty and volatile pricing. Before the detailed financial overview by our CFO, here's a quick summary. We delivered 8% revenue growth in Q2 FY26. Gross profit improved by 16%, driven by 350 basis points margin expansion. However, EBITDA and PAT were affected due to elevated operating costs, as indicated. Let me now share a key update during the quarter under review. We have taken significant steps to enhance our corporate governance network framework in line with best corporate governance practices. The board has approved the separation of the roles of Chairman and Managing Director, effective October 1, 2025. We are pleased to announce the designation of Mr. Anurag Surana as Non-Executive Chairman of Neogen Chemicals Limited and Mr. Sanjay Mehta as a Non-Executive Chairman of our subsidiary, Neogen Ionics Limited. Furthermore, we welcome Mr. TCN Sai Krishnan as Executive Director of Neogen Chemicals Limited on the board. These appointments, including the designation of a non-promoter family members as chairperson, reinforces our commitment to robust independent oversight. Moving to strategic expansion initiative in battery chemicals. Greenfield facility for electrolyte using MUIS technology at our Pakhajan Dahej PCPIR plant. We are rapidly moving towards commercializing our greenfield plant. We anticipate to complete mechanical completion before the end of this year and then commence trial production, followed by commercial production in first half of FY27, which is April to September 2026, and electrolyte salt in H2 of FY27, aligning with the expected rollout of ACC battery capacities in India and growing non-FEOC global demand for the salt. Specifically, the additional time taken for the salt is to completely homologate the technology from our JV partner from Japan, which is what caused slightly more time for the same. This momentum is underpinned by recent critical approvals. A leading Indian gigascale customer has successfully completed the stringent production part approval process, also called as PPAP, and approved our Dahej plant for long-term commercial electrolyte supply. This is a significant milestone and maybe the only plant in India to have achieved so till now in the history. Furthermore, our quality systems have received provisional approval for lithium electrolyte salt from key international customer with final approval anticipated in Q4 FY26. We are also actively working with several other international clients who have already approved our electrolyte salt samples, and final approvals are underway, expected in Q4 FY26 or Q1 FY27. These milestones validate our quality and position us as a reliable partner in the lithium ion supply chain. In a recently participated international event, we received a very positive response from the international community with the joint venture, because we offer the only Indian reliable, only Indian combination of low cost from India with reliability from international, reliable technology for electrolyte salt, specifically LiPF6 from India, which has seen very positively by the customers. Execution of joint venture agreement by between Neogen Ionics and Morita Investments. So we are thrilled to announce this major strategic milestone, the formation of the first Indo-Japan joint venture in the crucial battery material space. This JV, formed by Neogen Morita New Materials Limited, or NML as we describe in future communication, a wholly owned subsidiary of Neogen Ionics Limited till now, is designed to leverage synergies and capitalize on the rapidly expanding lithium ion battery market. NML will be dedicated for producing, developing and selling solid LiPF6 salt, a key ingredient for lithium ion battery electrolyte, along with other related products. Critically, this facility will be the only non-FEOC compliant plant for electrolyte salt in India, utilizing proven established Japanese technology, offering a significant advantage in terms of cost, speed and reliability. Under this agreement, NIL will hold a minimum of 80% ownership in NML, with our JV partner MIL holding a maximum of 20%. As you know, US lithium-ion battery cell producers must comply with foreign entities of concern guidelines to secure the lucrative US government tax credit, also known as 45X credits. This requires a complete transition to non-FEOC suppliers by 2027 for electrolyte salt. Consequently, most international customers are proactively accelerating their supplier transition to non-FEOC sources throughout 2026. This phase shift is essential for them to mitigate compliance risk and ensure uninterrupted eligibility for the tax credit. Our ability to offer a non-FEOC compliant established LiPF6 technology solution positions Neogen at the forefront of this mandated global supply chain pivot. We are executing a long-term strategy to evolve into a stronger technology-led and agile specialty chemical leader. This strategic alliance with MUIS and Morita are key to accelerating our entry and cementing our position in the high-growth battery materials value chain. Despite global economic headwinds, our commitment to volume growth, enhancing operational efficiency, and driving transformative projects reinforces our confidence in achieving a robust long-term trajectory and delivering sustainable value creation. This concludes my opening remark. I now request our CFO, Mr. Gopi Krishnan Sarthy, to share financial highlights for the period under review.
Thank you, Dr. Harin Kanani. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Neogen Chemicals Q2 FY26 earnings call. I will share the key financial highlights. Please kindly note all numbers are on consolidated basis. Q2 FY26 number revenue reached 209 crores, up 8% year-on-year. This growth was achieved through sustained demand and increased volume across base and also organolithium business. This was mitigating the effect of the Dahej plant unavailability. Neogen Ionics contributed 5.42 crore to the quarter's revenue. Organic revenue for the period stood at 184 crore, reflecting 12% increase while inorganic revenues stood at rupees 4 crore. EBIT for quarter was at rupees 30 crore. Although the gross profit held steady, EBITDA margin percentage was constrained by various factors. Some of them were higher employee costs stemming from performance-linked incentive and long-term benefits and strategic new hires. Two was sharp rise in the insurance premium following the recent fire incident and increased job work and conversion costs. As indicated by Dr. Kanani, we expect to recover some of these expenses under the business interruption loss of profit insurance plan in FY27 once their operations are resumed at Dahej SEZ organic plant. Newton reported a PAT of 3 crores for Q2 FY26. This reflects the cumulative impact of several factors that constrain profitability, namely higher operational costs as shared earlier, increased finance costs related to the capital deployed for inventory and plant rebuild for following the Dahej fire incident, continued investment in the organic Dahej SEZ while we await the final insurance payout for the loss, fire loss, and initial cost at Neogen Ionics. And also lower utilization at Dahej plant, pending both final approval for electrolyte salt and delayed market demand for electrolytes. Moving to the key development during the quarter under review, to ensure that we maintain our growth trajectory and operational stability, we have successfully executed a private placement of 200 crores NCD. The immediate availability of these funds provide us with the crucial financial flexibility to execute our ongoing growth projects. Crucially, these funds will also provide necessary liquidity to expedite the rebuilding of the Dahej organic plan and ensuring the timely progress. Finally, just a snapshot of our balance sheet highlights. Despite operational challenges, Neogen's financial foundation remains solid. Balance sheet is strong, ensuring uninterrupted business continuity and providing financial flexibility to pursue strategic growth initiatives. Standalone debt in this quarter stood at 722 crores and net debt was 525 crores. This increase of around 200 crores is due to the NCD issuance, which was basically for raised for rebuilding the Dahej plant till the time the final insurance claim is received. Debt coverage remains healthy and demonstrated by the 12 months DSCR of 2.1 times. On consolidated basis, total debts was 1,078 crores, net debt was 900 crores. The company maintains a strong liquidity with an liquid investment of around 167 crores as on the quarter end. This concludes my remark. I will now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. Dr. Green, my first question is on the guidance of the...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Arun, but there is a disturbance from your background. Can you please check?
No, sorry, I don't think... is it still like that?
You may please go ahead.
Arun, it's okay. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Dr. Hari, the first question is about the guidance on battery chemicals starting, especially the salt. Earlier also, we had we kind of indicated that we will, from 2025-26 onwards, we should see a lot of, maybe some of US customers who will be starting the battery plant will start giving orders. Now we have seen a bit of delay on that. Now, what is driving the delay in the order from the, at least the overseas customers for salt? And how confident are we this time that the current guidance will stand true and we will restart the plant, bigger facility also in time? That's my first question.
Sure. So thanks, Arun, for the question. So I think in our current year's guidance, there were two major assumptions. One was the electrolyte requirement for India, and when basically our Indian gigafactories such as Ola and Exide start their production and ramp up. As you have seen, Ola just recently got their ARCI approval. So we expect that their ramp up should happen in the second half, and especially in the next calendar year, 2026. So we feel from Q4 onwards, we should see more stronger demand for the electrolyte. And similarly, what we understand, for Exide also, that end of this year or early next year, they will start. So as compared to our earlier estimation on when these were going to start, the electrolyte in India was a bit delayed, and that caused lower volumes. Although we are still watching how the Q4 will come, and we basically Q4 performance of Exide and Ola demand is what we are currently looking at. And that will also determine what the final numbers look like. But as compared to what we had earlier estimated, the demands to start from almost Q2, Q3 itself, electrolyte demand in India has been delayed. In reference to the salt question, as we had discussed earlier, and as I mentioned also in my opening remarks, so you first have a quality validation, quality confirmation, and then you have a very detailed, what is called as a PPAP procedure in the auto world, where they would finally give you the approval. So we are very pleased to inform that for electrolyte, we already successfully cleared our PPAP. And for electrolyte salt, before PPAP, when we had our final audit, mostly we have received a provisional approval, and some further suggestions or improvement in our facility were asked by the customer. Some are just software, so some additional instrumentation which they want us, some software systems they want us to update, and some facilities also which they want us to improve. So we expect most of this to be completed by January or February 2026, because these were some additional asks during the final audit. So they've already given a provisional approval to Neogen, and then based on our compliance and completion of this, either they will have just an online procedure to approve us, or maybe one more visit in January, February. So once that happens, then our commercial production of the salt can be sold on a regular basis. So today it's just trial or something like that. So I think this was something which we had hoped that we would reach by September, so basically in the first half, and based on that, in the second half, we would have fully available for sales. However, based on the current developments and the additional ask given by the customer, we expect that sometime in 2026, calendar year 26, Q1 or Q2. So basically either Q4 FY26 or Q1 FY27 is when we feel majority of the salt demand will increase. Further, when we had, so the requirement by the U.S. government is that in 2027, to comply for 45X credits, they need to switch to FEOC compliant, so non-foreign entities of concern supply chain. And for that, most of the customers, depending on their stringencies, have indicated that some of them who are more cautious, they will start switching from Q1, Q2 calendar year FY26. And some who are a little bit more price conscious, they would like to switch from Q3, Q4 of calendar year 26. So basically 2027, everybody has to switch. Before that, one quarter or three, four quarters before. That depends on the nature of the company and how much risk averse versus cost conscious they are. So most of the customers also are intending to switch during calendar year 2026. So like some starting from Q1, some starting from Q3, Q4, depending on the policies of the internal policies of those companies. So that's why, you know, calendar year Q4, which becomes H2 of FY 2027. So we are very confident that H2 of FY 2027, there will be a very, very strong demand, and we should see a demand improvement in H1 FY 2027. But FY 2026, like, you know, did not pan out the way we had envisioned earlier, both, like, you know, delay in electrolyte and delay in the final approval by the customers is the main causes. And maybe a little bit customer desire to make the final switch in 2026, versus second half of 2025, is the contributing factor.
Understood. One follow-up on this, we spoke about the various steps in getting the approvals. Finally, we hope to get it by, say, probably January 2026. So this, the same set of approvals, again, the procedures will be followed for the greenfield facility as well, or, that will be on a fast track mode? How should we look at it?
So, it will be on a fast track mode, because one, like, you know, what we feel is that this will be a facility where we are transferring technology, because it will be like, you know, the main equipment, the raw materials, the specification, all of those kind of remain the same. So lot of work will get reduced. Also, you know, some of the customer suggestions will also be incorporated there in the greenfield facility. The third point is, you know, customer also will be running on a more tighter timeline, because most of them want to switch in 2027, so they would have only one or two quarters to complete the procedure. But procedure-wise, like, you know, we feel it will be much faster. And while you said, you know, that the whole facility would be ready at full capacity in H2 of FY 2027, some trial production will start even earlier. Like, for example, even electrolyte, we are saying insert, our first target was to complete everything by Q4 FY 2026. But mostly electrolyte, we should be even ready for trial productions and stabilization by Q1 FY 2027. And the salt, we are targeting to be ready by Q2 FY 2027. So there'll be some trial productions which will start, and we will try to do some of the validations also in line, at least customer visits and things like that.
Understood. And on the FOEC norms, the customer has to shift to our or Indian or other non-Chinese sources. What kind of a U.S. volume that you are expecting? Not to us, but overall, at the industry level, what is the volume available for the players to target this FOEC volume?
Sorry, I couldn't hear your question properly. You are mentioning non-U.S., sorry,
No, no.
Non-U.S.
I'm saying-
U.S.?
Yeah. I'll repeat, Rafael. So you're talking about the non-FOEC electrolyte salt demand, which is our target market. What is the kind of volume in terms of tonnage that we are talking about, at least which is already started and which is not binded by the long-term contracts with the, say, the current suppliers?
Okay. So, you know, most of the current supply today is actually from China, except for one Japanese and one Korean suppliers, right?
Correct.
So most of the switch would happen, and we would be the number three company, like, you know, which they would be approving. There is still no supply available in Europe. There is still no supply available in U.S. There is one Korean company who is talking about starting, but again, we don't know exactly how, but we are way ahead in terms of contracted volume, and contracted volume interest and approval processes. So I think we should be mostly number three or number four company, which we have. And in terms of, if you think on terms of capacity, our understanding is that, you know, the Japan has a capacity between 3 to 5 KTA. the Korean supplier has a capacity around 2 KTA, and Neogen would be adding three around. Okay, both the salts together on the LiPF6, the greenfield, we are adding around 3 KTA at the greenfield, and including our Dahej site, we would have around 4 KTA. So I think we have similar orders of magnitude or slightly better as compared to the existing players. And we believe, as compared to Japan and Korea, the customers also have cost advantage. And at least with some of these customers, we already have a long-term agreement where the pricing has already been agreed upon. So I think with few, we are discussing pricing, but with the major customer, we already have pricing which has been agreed upon. And that pricing will already take care, which basically shows that there is acceptance to the cost structure of Neogen.
Dr. Harin, can you just mention what is the U.S. demand for salt in terms of KT? You mentioned supply, non-Chinese capacity. What is the demand for from the U.S.?
Okay. So I think if we take like 300-500 kind of gigawatt-hour, right? So there will be around, there should be a total demand of around 40-60 KTA if everything has to switch for a 300 gigawatt production.
This will be by which year, sir?
By 27. By 27.
Okay. And of this 300 gigawatt, how much is in currently live and how much is in under construction?
So I think currently we are already at 140 or 150 gigawatt hour, which is already online.
Okay.
And more is online, more are also coming online, but the actual consumption of the cells or actual cell production is to the extent of around 140-150 gigawatt hour. This is just my estimate. There is no official number which says how much.
Understood.
But this is just a summary of the major producers, right? If you think of major producers like Panasonic, then Tesla, then LG and Samsung. So if you take their capacity and Epson, so if you take their capacity is what they are today producing, our estimate is somewhere in this region.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Arun. May we request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for your turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Dr. Harin and team. My first question, or rather, if you could help us understand the PPAP, or rather the agreement that we have signed, if you could throw some more light on how do we understand this phenomena? Is it like a contractual obligation that the customer has gotten us into? Does that give us visibility of, let's say, X amount of volumes? Would we be facilitating, let's say, some level of gigawatt capacity? Anything around those lines, if you could help us understand, we can maybe substantiate it a bit better.
So PPAP is basically actually your quality system approval, and it also measures the productivity and the capacity and also the quality of the product being suitable. It's also the sign of systems. So it is equivalent to like a US FDA pharma customer coming and giving you the final approval, or US FDA coming and giving you the final approval, post which your product can be put into commercial usage. So it is basically kind of equivalent of that. And what PPAP basically means is, like, let's say if we are thinking of an API world, like US FDA has come and given you approval, so now your product can be sold in the US market at a commercial level and can be consumed. So you might do some trial production, etc. But mostly before you start commercial supply, you need to complete the PPAP, This is usually done by individual customer. So, you know, one of the gigafactories in India have already completed the PPAP with Neogen. So now, you know, they can continue to buy electrolyte and put it in commercial products, which can go in auto or other kind of applications. So this is what basically PPAP means. Separately, in terms of volume commitments, what we have mentioned earlier, that electrolyte salt, we already have volume commitment agreements, which is separate agreements, which is about pricing and, you know, payment terms, etc. So for the salt, we have already agreements in place, which basically, like, which will completely take care of the 5,500 metric ton or 5.5 KTA capacity, which we are putting. So we have full agreements for the salt already. For the electrolyte, like, you know, in parallel to PPAP, we are also discussing with the customers long-term supply volume. And similarly, electrolyte also, we are planning to conclude long-term supply agreements. However, mostly, as you can see, you know, Indian gigafactories are just starting one by one. Some of them, most of them will start, you know, in the second half of 2026. So there's a little time before that. And the ones who have started, we are in active discussion with them for concluding contracts, like, you know, for long-term supply. So this is ongoing, but we are the only facility in India with a PPAP approval for electrolyte salts today. And based on that, like, you know, if anybody wants to buy locally, right now they have to buy only from Neogen. So we are in a very strong position, and it also gives confidence on the quality systems and supply which Neogen can do.
Sure. Sir, in the PPT, you have mentioned that this is for electrolyte demand, and I think I heard you say that it is for the 5,500 ton salt commitment. So this is a little confused whether this is for salt, electrolyte, or both.
PPAP is for electrolyte approval, and the separately I mentioned that for the salt, we already have the pricing commitment. So in electrolyte, we have completed PPAP, but the pricing agreement is under progress. For the salt, the pricing agreement has been done. We have gotten like provisional approval, but the final PPAP approval is subject to us implementing some of the suggestions which I mentioned earlier. We expect by January, February 2026. Yeah.
Got it. So second one, so I heard on one of the battery manufacturers call that they're starting with NMC battery production in the beginning before starting LFP.
Yeah.
Does that have any repercussion on our visibility of demand, whether it is respective of whether it is NMC or LFP?
So the only difference between NMC and LFP from an electrolyte point of view is that, I mean, from a business point of view, that 1 gigawatt hour of NMC requires around 400 to 500 metric ton of electrolyte. In case of LFP, it requires around 1,200 metric ton of electrolyte. So, like, let's say if there is a 10 gigawatt hour of NMC facility, the demand would be 5 KTA. And if there is a 10 gigawatt hour of LFP capacity, then the demand would be around 12 KTA. So it's the demand. But broadly, like, you know, when we look at the overall demand and the production which is coming, which is our, so what we expect, like, you know, that when India reaches, let's say, maybe 50 giga or 100 giga, it would be 70-80% LFP, around 10-20% will be NMC, and 10% would be others. Based on which we have come at an average number of, you know, 950 to 1000 metric ton per gigawatt hour kind of consumption. And with whatever we have feedback from our customers, we are still confident that, you know, NMC LFP mix can change a bit, you know, 10-20%, even if it becomes 30% NMC, 70% LFP. Although more and more, when we think of a 30, 50, 100 giga level, more is going to be LFP driven. So the demand is going to be more than what we had originally expected. But our full utilization target by FY29 doesn't change. We would still be able to easily achieve full utilization of our electrolyte facility and of course salt even earlier by FY29.
Understood. So one bookkeeping question, if I may squeeze in, what would be our peak gross debt, at what scale would we reach our peak gross debt, the timelines of that? Also, the inventory in the current balance sheet seems to be quite high, so if you can just explain as to why there's almost a 130 odd crore inventory jump that we saw.
So our peak debt is expected to be 1800 crores, and like, you know, we would basically reach this, let's say, 1 year, like closer to our full utilization level. So around FY28 or so, we would reach when our peak demand would be there for the peak debt. In reference to your second question, also, you know, in line with our revised change in the commissioning dates, our bankers also have extended for our greenfield site our start date by around 1 year. So that also will push our repayment schedule also by 1 year. So that gives us, you know, further additional comfort in maneuvering the cash flows, and therefore the delay will not have much significant impact on the cash flow requirements, and we would remain comfortable because of the approval given to us by the bank. Finally, about your question on the inventory, so as you are aware, we had indicated we lost around 180 crores of inventory in Dahej during fire, 170 to 180 crores of inventory during fire. So the increase that you are seeing in last 6 months is basically making up for the inventory which we have lost, because you can see we have regained our revenue performance. In fact, it's slightly higher as compared to what we had around that time. So to be able to maintain that, the inventory that we lost is being made up now.
Understood. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akelak from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, and thank you so much for taking my questions. So just on the battery chemicals business, you know, we were guiding to about 300 crores of revenue previously. Obviously, you know, things seem to be moving a little bit slower. Just wondering if you would like to maybe update your guidance for this year and maybe next year in terms of that business.
Sure. So based on, you know, today's situation, as I explained earlier, since our electrolyte demand has been lower, although we are ready and we took longer time for getting approval, we are expecting it longer. So this year we would not be able to achieve 300 crores. As we had indicated earlier also, it was going to be difficult, but the number we were trying to get more clarity. So depending on how electrolyte basically demand comes up in the Q4, we expect it to be in the range of around 30 to 40 crore for the current year. For the next year, we expect that, again, next year, you know, many facilities are going to come online, especially in H2. And again, it depends a little bit on how that happens. But we are more and again, salt also, most of the customers would be transitioning in 2026. So basically in FY27, they are doing the transition. FY28, we have much stronger clarity both on electrolyte or salt. But we feel at the least we should be able to do around 400 to 500 crores of revenue in FI in the next financial year, which is basically FY27. And we remain on track to achieve full utilization level by FY29. That is the guidance we have given of 2,400 to 2,900 crore on the full utilization of the facility. FY28 will be somewhere in between. We expect salt demand to be very strong, and electrolyte, depending on how ramp up in India happens, and basically share between India ramp up and some customers in the beginning for a short while, because of contractual limitations, will have to import electrolyte from China. But how soon they decide to switch to us. So that will determine the FY28 revenue, which will guide you as we get more clarity. But we expect it to be more than 1,000 crore, so at least significantly more than 1,000 crore but between the 500 crore and let's say 2,900 crore number.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And on the base business itself, you know, we had this 850 crore plan for this year. So that seems on track, right? And then how do you see it shaping up next year?
Yeah, that remains on track. And for the next year also, we will target a full utilization level, which is, let's say, somewhere between 950 to 1,000 crore. And then as we had shared earlier, we expect in the year beyond, without any capex, just optimizing the plant fully, we would like to target at least a double-digit growth over that, at least from what we can see today.
Thank you so much. Just last couple of questions from me before I get back in the queue. One is, what is the amount of maybe, you know, debt servicing that we have lined up over the next 12 months? You know, so just maybe the principal plus the interest obligation lined up for the next 12 months, if you could just help us with that number. And the other thing was just on the battery chemical side, it seems like in recent weeks and months, prices have started to move up in China quite significantly across all manner of battery chemicals. So what exactly might be happening there and what's your expectation for how that market might evolve?
Sure. So thank you for your question. So I think the total repayment that we have to do over next 1 year, like, you know, is hardly around 40-50 crores on the term loans. In terms of interest, you know, like whatever is our mainly working capital interest, because most of the project finance related interest will be part of the project cost. So that will not hit except maybe like, you know, Dahej related capex in NIL, but majority of the Pakhaj and Greenfield side is part of the project cost. So that is already accounted for in the project investment. In terms of the regular interest which we are paying on working capital, we are yet to receive majority portion. So we received 80 crore, but we are yet to receive the remaining around 250 crore plus the loss on profit plus additional cost on rebuilding from the insurance. So these, like, you know, around 300 odd crores is what we will be receiving in, let's say, next 1 year. So as we keep receiving that, our interest cost should basically, working capital interest that is currently higher will kind of taper down and will improve. So that is kind of the estimate on the repayments which we need to make. On your second point about, you know, the pricing in China, we also heard that there was a very strong move in the electrolyte salt as well as to some extent electrolyte cost also in China. And most of the Chinese were selling only at raw material cost and what I call like manpower. Some of them are even not even accounting for power and fuel kind of cost. I think some of these companies were not able to sustain, started closing down. Also, the demand situation is looking better. So the overcapacity in China, which was at least for the good cell producers, is now no longer there, with the strong best the energy storage demand across the world, including in India. You know, the good quality cell producers, their capacities are now almost getting full. So that reduces their pressure to, you know, sell at a lower cost. And therefore, we have seen, you know, firming up of battery material prices as well as electrolyte salt, and to some extent, even cell costs are also likely to go up over coming year.
Got it. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my question. So just one question what I had was relating to the insurance payout. Just wanted to know, I mean, those things were going on fine, but probably there is some delay in the, you know, in getting the insurance payout for which we had to, you know, raise some funds as well. So just if you could just give us some color on why is the delay and, you know, in this insurance payout.
Till June, basically the insurance company was just wanting to confirm, through several rigorous testing, the cause of the fire, all the permissions were in place. And, once that process was completed, they basically released the first interim payment, which was basically a sign of acceptance of the claim. Now, as you know, there are two stock claim as well as the MPP, the rebuilding of the capacity, the CAPEX related claim. So the CAPEX related claim, against that they've already given us 80 crore. And as we complete this 80 crore, which is we expect in current quarter, we would fully end up utilizing that, because we are also on track to complete this by Q4, so that, the plant becomes available for the next financial year. So as we complete that 80 crore, they will give us the next interim payment against that. On the stock side, post fire and post taking care of the CAPEX related claims, then they started processing. Just because the claim amount is large, sometimes there are one or two rounds of reviews from their side, back and forth, additional queries which we are answering. And sometimes they also organize external experts. So we are again pushing insurance, and we hope that in current quarter, so in Q3, we should complete receiving the stock-related claim, at least majority portion of that. And the final payment against the CAPEX rebuilding, because we have like replacement basis insurance, so not the cost of the loss, but to replace that, so that will be finally determined only once the plant is ready. So some amount we will get by Q1 of next year. And as we have seen that some of the cost have increased because of doing some outsourcing, some employees, some standard cost at Dahej continuing. So all these will become part on loss on profit claim. So that is normally expected sometime in Q2 or Q3 of FY27, because the calculation and the working on that starts only once the plant is rebuilt. So that exercise itself will start. So it's, for us also, it's the first time. But when you have a large claim, it just takes a little bit longer for them to do each and every stage.
Sure, but more or less, notwithstanding some delays, it's on track. I mean, it's as per estimation, right?
Yes. So we it's as per estimation, and that's the reason, we are paying a little bit over cost, but, we are able to maintain our operations at full stage. We are continuing our growth. We are doing what is needed to whatever we had planned. For employee retention, for employee motivation. So those programs also have been continued. The CAPEX has continued at the same pace. There's no, because of want of funds, delayed CAPEX or something like that. So I think those are the positives because of the 200 crores bond that we issued.
Sure, sir. So, and just to get this right, I mean, in terms of course, the battery cell commissioning in India, which has been delayed, as you mentioned, it would be fair to probably estimate that it's a one-year delay, right? With the likes of Ola, the Excites, the Amara Rajas, probably it's a one-year delay with all the EV domestic chain supply chain being set up in India. Would that be a fair take?
Yeah, I would agree. And in the sense that, we expected Ola to start in the first half, but, the time it took for them to get their cell approvals and go full commercial scale. So it took a little bit longer, right? Some sense, like I would say 6 months to a year kind of a delay. And mostly what we are seeing by 2027, majority of the players who had planned would be start manufacturing. So 2026 is a bit of a challenge, but calendar year 27, which is FY28, we see very strong demand. And the other thing which has happened, and while the delay has happened, the consumption of the cells is only increasing. I think EVs, there's a good positive response. More and more people are coming. And also we see a very strong demand for energy storage, what is called battery energy storage demand. So that demand has become more stronger. So therefore everybody is trying to work very hard to get cell capacity as fast as possible.
Sure. And so just one final question. 26, of course, you had revised the standalone guidance. I understand the battery chemical gets downward revised, you know, in terms of whatever has happened in the delays. You spoke about 30-40 crores in 26 and 400-500 crores in 27. Now, in terms of standalone, you're maintaining that guidance and probably you said 27 probably will be, just in terms of base business, I'm saying you said double digit at best. Probably you will strive for double digit going in 27.
Sorry, no, we said 27 was 950 to 100 crore. And
okay.
The FY28, like basically full utilization of the existing capacity. And FY28, what we said, because we don't want to do significant capex. So without the capex, we are confident to give double digit. In case, like for example, we see very good demand in organolithium, because we have seen organolithium as well as CSM business. So actually, you know, in spite of the fire, our CSM business contribution reached almost 16%, and we are seeing very strong demand of that. So if we see a very strong demand, we do some additional capex for FY28. But currently, like our aim is, you know, to with the same, we can deliver at least a double digit growth. So like somewhere around 1150 or so kind of a revenue is what we are targeting without capex. If we see very good demand and if we see good reason to do it, we'll take a call in FY27 on that. But okay. FY28 is what I was referring to for the double digit.
Okay. FY27, 952,000 crore.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
There is no change.
Thank you so much. Sure. Thank you so much, sir. For answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from Money Stories Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a question regarding your debt and cash flow management. So I just wanted to know what is the current capex in IRA which we have already done and what is the amount which is remaining. Also, what will be the debt and interest level after the capex cycle which we have, and how do we aim to manage the interest cost? Thank you.
Yeah, so we have so far done completed capex of around 620 crores, and like, you know, by end of this year we expect another 500 crores more, and as we complete next year our existing capacity increase, we would complete the 1500 crore capex across our Dahej and Pakhajan site. In terms of Neogen chemical side, mostly, like, you know, we are rebuilding the plant, and maybe when we do rebuilding, I mean, if there is some additional capacity or some improvement which is not covered by the insurance, we will have to pay. So that is something which you would know only after the final insurance evaluation. I think, and maybe some incremental capex for our R&D and pilot facility and maintenance capex at our other sites. So we're not considering, like, you know, any large capex on Neogen chemicals in this and next financial year. It should all be double digit, no kind of triple digit kind of capex in Neogen chemicals. In terms of funding, we already have 70%, so 70% being debt funded, which is already secured for our Neogen Ionics purpose. And also further, you know, as part of the JV, we would also receive some additional funds, which will be coming in as equity contribution from our JV partner. That will fund basically Neogen Ionics. And our contribution has already been kind of significantly funded, completely actually for Dahej. And significant portion of the greenfield has already been funded by us. So we don't expect to invest too much more into Neogen Ionics from Neogen standalone basis, because majority of the funding has been received and partly some of the funding will be received from our joint venture partners. In case of Neogen, most of insurance proceeds would come and most of that would be funding. In fact, we have already funded inventory related expenses. So when that funding comes, that will help us reduce debt or maintain some liquidity to basically plan for any unexpected requirements. So I think this is basically the idea. Also further, as I explained, that once Dahej facility comes online in, let's say, Q1 of next financial year, we'll have a one-year moratorium. As our Pakhajan facility comes online in FY 2027, we would have further one more moratorium from the start date. The repayments, again, that too at a ballooning level. The majority repayment burden would be in FY 2028, FY 2029 in Neogen Ionics, by which time we would already be hitting full utilization level. The cash flow from the company itself would be sufficient to repay the debt there.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Reena Shah from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Already here.
Ms. Reena Shah, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand the costs that you have incurred because of the fire incident. Are these one-time costs or recurring costs?
Reena ma'am, normally, as you know, that whenever there is an insurance, especially a large insurance claim, the couple of years after that, the insurance company tends to increase the premium. We had our insurance renewal in the month of July, August. Post that, our insurance cost has been premium has increased significantly because of the same. Of course, some contribution is coming from there. It will stay for, let's say, a year, 2 years. Then afterwards, basically, it comes back to normal kind of insurance level. Similarly, some of the costs which we are incurring, where some of the activities, when we don't have capacity, we have to some stages of manufacturing, we have to outsource. Also, some of our capacity or expenses, fixed expenses at the Dahej site are remaining. Some of these expenses are claimable under our loss on profit. It's very difficult to do a provision of that. Currently, in this year, you will see them as a higher expenditure in other expenses. We feel the majority of those would be recovered from the insurance in the next financial year. Of course, once the Dahej plant starts, this additional expenditure would not be there. Again, we would go back to our normal EBITDA levels related to that.
Okay. So any change in your margin guidance?
It's very difficult to predict this, but I think, let's say, this year, it's a little bit difficult to predict. But next year, when we hit full utilization, 950 crore-1,000 crore on standalone basis, we expect the same 18% plus or minus 1-1.5% kind of margins. And then as we get further utilization, as we go into FY 2028, maybe improvement over that as our CSM, our organolithium business starts contributing more. And in terms of Neogen Ionics, we continue to target 20% ROC as our margin. EBITDA margin, it's very difficult to predict because of lithium price volatility. It can be in the range of 16%-20% depending on the price of lithium and other raw materials. But for Neogen Ionics, we basically target a 20% ROC in our as our target.
Sir, next year, you have given 400-500% guidance for Neogen Ionics. How much will be of that from salts, and how much is from electrolyte solutions according to your assumption?
So we feel it will be roughly half and half. So almost 50% coming from electrolyte and 50% coming from salt. But anyways, if demand comes a little bit higher, we will be ready for more for both electrolyte as well as salt.
Okay. Okay. I think that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Harin. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry if my question is a repetition. Joined the call a bit late. First, just a clarification on the one-year extension in moratorium for the debt repayment.
This will be only for the principal paying dues, or even the interest outgo will get extended.
So Ankur, the interest, till the time, the project is not completed is already considered as part of the project cost. And it's only after we have the start of production, then the interest on that portion will start becoming payable for 1 year, and then the repayment will start the year after. So in the second year, we would start the repayment. That was earlier also. That was the same thing earlier, but now we have 1 year extension that you can start paying interest after 1 year and the repayment the year after, depending on when we actually start.
Correct. So interest capitalization is well understood. The interest payment will be after a lag of 1 year, and the repayment is further 1 year out.
That's right. Yes. Right? From the start of production.
From the start of
production. From the day you make it commercial production. Yeah.
Fair enough. Second question on the salt bit. I appreciate the delays in the plants coming in India. But globally, how has been the demand scenario on the salt side? And secondly, any plan and our capacity for the over there?
Sorry, I lost your last sentence. Can you say again?
On the salt side, first, how has been the, our discussion with the clients in terms of demand outlook, etc.? And secondly, if there are any plans to increase our salt new capacity for business.
Sure. So, the customers have taken our joint venture with Morita very strongly. Most of the customer really appreciated that because it gives them a lot of peace of mind. And while we were actively discussing with only one or two major customers beginning, now there are 3 to 4 large consumers who are actively discussing with us. As we mentioned in our call, some of them even fast-tracked our sample approvals, and now they've completed sample approval. And on top of 3-4 major ones, we also had 2-3 smaller ones who also started working with us. So, we are now able to access more number of customers. The customers are more confident in terms of the new capacity which is going to come online. So I think all these have been very positive. Most of the customers with on their side also with more clarity around 45X related credits are very keen to have a non-FEOC supplier in 2026. As I said, someone wants to start by Q1, Q2, the homologation. Someone would like to wait till Q4 and enjoy a lower China price as much as possible. And only into end of Q4 shipments. So basically for their consumption in 2027 is when they will make the shift. But everybody is very clear that in 2027, they want a non-FEOC supplier, and Neogen is now considered a very strong contender, especially after the JV, because it just increases the reliability in the minds of the customer.
Sure, sir. And the product pricing here, will Chinese salt be a benchmark on which the product will be priced, or how are we working or negotiating on that side?
Before that, you also asked me about salt capacity. So basically, as I have said earlier, that with our existing customers itself, our salt capacity would run out by FY28, FY29. And it depends also whether we will use the salt internally for electrolytes. So we are also giving options to our customers to choose that, because as you also mentioned, it also depends on the pricing with China. So when China was very, very low price throughout last year, the customer still wanted this because of FEOC and because of the constraints. So one of the biggest help China did to market our product is the restrictions they announced from 8 November, because that really shook up the customers, because at any point of time, if China comes and says, hey, I will not supply this and I will not supply that, Like, you know, if tomorrow they add electrolyte salt in that list, you know, they will be very badly impacted for something which costs very less. So because of that, all the customers are very keen to buy, like they become even more keen to buy from Neogen. And yeah, I think mostly the benchmark is outside China, are you the cheapest? So that's the question everybody keeps asking in the international. And Neogen, at least the contracts which we have signed, you know, in there the answer is yes. So that's the reason why they continue to discuss and more customers are discussing with us for their demand. So we will keep watching, but yeah, we see a strong need that by FY28 or FY29, we may need extra salt capacity. And we feel 2 KTA we can add relatively easily because it will not cost so much. But we'll not do that till, you know, the greenfield site starts fully and we get a clarity on approvals and supplies will start. After that, we will take maybe 9 months or 12 months and add 2 KTA if the demand remains strong and if the customers are contracting us with a more committed volumes for 28 and 29.
Sure, that's helpful. Just one follow-up here. So 2,000 odd tons can be added, let's say, within a year. This is largely debottlenecking. If you want to add, let's say, greenfield expansion, how much can we do and what is the typical time required to do that?
So 2 KTA is, you know, just expansion of my existing manufacturing block. And then I can add one more 5 KTA also, for which we have done some of the infrastructure work. So 2 KTA between 9 to 12 months, another 5 KTA, I would say maybe 15 to 18 months. And if we have to go beyond, like, you know, again, we still have space in Pakhajan, but yeah, we can another, let's say 18 months or so, if we have to go beyond 10 KTA.
Sorry to interrupt. May we request Mr. Pariwal to please rejoin the queue? We have participants
sure.
waiting for them.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, once all the projects are done, by FY27 end, what is the gross block likely to look like? And on the 1,500 crores of debt at peak levels, what is the average cost of debt that we are looking at? Thank you.
Gopi, would you like to answer that?
Sorry, if you could just repeat the question, please.
Yeah, so at FY27 end, when all the capex are in place for the legacy business as well as for the new battery chemical business, what will be the gross block that we are looking at? And on the 1,500 crores peak debt, what will be the average cost of debt?
Average cost of debt will depend because all our interest rates are variable. Some of them are linked to repo rate while some are linked to the MCLR rate. So as the interest rate moves, the things would also be moving in. And as far as the gross block is concerned, we should be having a gross block of close to 2000 crores in, on a consolidated basis. Yeah, it should be close to 2000 crores.
Okay, so just clarification. So based on current interest rate, the cost of debt would be somewhere closer to 7-8%?
Slightly higher because it's a project loan. Generally, project loans are placed slightly higher than the normal term loan. But generally, post COD, the interest rates actually get reduced.
Sure, that's helpful. Second question, in terms of the battery chemicals scale up, so 500 to say 2,500 crores. Dr. Harin, you told that the ROC that we are looking at is 20%. Given that the scale up will happen between say 500 to 2,500 crores, initially will the ROC be lower, and because of that the margins that we are looking at from a, you know, constant lithium prices perspective of say 20% could be lower at 500, and as we hit the peak, the margins at say current lithium prices would be about 20%. So is that assumption right?
Yeah, so just one correction. You said 2,500 crores, I heard, but like it is 1,500 crores for the battery business, right? For the salt and the electrolyte together. Everything is together. So just one clarification on that. And yes, you are correct that the 20% ROC is on a stable basis when we have full utilization level. So, you know, when we are in an intermediate phase like FY27 or FY28, maybe it can be a bit lower.
Cool. And just one last clarification in terms of electrolyte and electrolyte salt. So you mentioned that we currently have 5,000 tons of salt capacity and there is additional electrolyte capacity. So how much of this 5,000 would be consumed internally based on our current contracts with the customers? We also clarified that we have the option of either selling electrolyte salt or the electrolyte solution. So based on current understanding, how much would be captively consumed? Thank you.
So, you know, that is a choice which each customer is making right now. And basically the Indian electrolyte customers, you know, they also are competing against the China. So while electrolyte has to be made locally, some of them basically are considering that, hey, you know, if the Chinese electrolyte salt is lower, why not directly get from China? Of course, some of them have restrictions because of their PLI where they want a local production. There are some who want from a business stability point of view. So it's a little bit difficult question for me to answer because the customers will make this choice over next, let's say, 12 months to 15 months. And that is what one of the clarity which we are seeking from the customer. One good thing that we have that in case the customer says, hey, get from China, we also have our JV partner who already has a plant in China. So even from China, we can get them a stable, like relatively good quality, reliable, like, you know, electrolyte salt. So we will work with our customer, our partner to basically optimize. And for us, you know, if like for us, if we are selling both electrolyte and the salt, like, you know, we are not consuming internally, then the revenue potential can be even higher with the same investment. But of course, in that case, the overall margins, the ROC on the electrolyte side can be a little bit different. But overall, I think we should still, it's a positive. But that is something which the customer will choose. So it's difficult to answer. And that when we answer that question, we will also answer our next capacity increase, because if that happens, we definitely need capacity by FY28, FY29, when we hit full utilization on the electrolyte side.
Perfect, sir. Thanks for all the clarifications and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Tej from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, hello. You are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I only one question. You said, you know, that from next year there will be incremental demand coming on from suppliers looking at the non-FEOC supply chain. But my question is, let's say even if a supplier is buying electrolyte from a non-Chinese supplier, and then let's say he has still to be reliant on a Chinese line or a Chinese, let's say, lithium carbonate, would it be considered a FEOC, non-compliant? I just wanted to understand that.
Yes. So for you to be fully compliant, you need to have the entire critical mineral supply chain to be non-foreign entities of concern.
But then in that case, how would the manufacturers in India would be able to comply? As far as we know, the guys putting up plant, all of them have Chinese line, right? And sourcing comes from China. So in that case, how would the FEOC compliant would be beneficial to us?
So this is requirement in the US. So companies which are making cells in the US to get the benefit, they need to comply to the non-FEOC requirement.
But still,
this is more relevant for our electrolyte salt business. For our electrolyte salt business, this is a relevant policy where we are trying to sell it to the supply chain in the US. And for our Indian customers, you know, Some of them who have ACC PLI localization targets, for them, like, you know, electrolyte and how much salt where we are making becomes again relevant because, like, you know, if I'm making it from scratch, then the localization percentage is much higher. If I'm getting, let's say, salt from outside and mixing in India, then I mean, making the electrolyte here, then the localization percentage is lesser. So it will depend on the customer's localization. But this is true only for localized customers who are looking for localization who have ACC PLI benefits. For the non-ACC PLI, at present, there is no difference. But the government has promised that, you know, the import duties on cell and cell components, they would be reviewing in 2026. So we feel now the supply chain and production coming in, there will be some kind of a protection or support for the Indian cell manufacturing and cell supply. So again, we are actively answering customers' reply, the government policymakers' replies, and through our association making presentations. And we hope some kind of additional support will also be received by us and cell producers for, like, you know, ensuring India can have a completely backward integrated supply chain for the cell production.
Okay, got it. Got it. Great. And so last question is, correct me if I'm wrong, I read somewhere, I mean, the players would, let's say, select a local supply because, let's say for electrolyte to come from China, it would take about 1.5 months. But then the properties of electrolyte changes, right? So that's why the local suppliers would prefer a local supply. Is the understanding correct?
Yes. Normally, you know, electrolytes have a shelf life around 3 months. And even during this 3 months, also, there is some degradation. So technically,
okay,
if you look at majority of the big cell producers, they consume electrolyte within 15 days. So, like, you know,
okay,
ideally, Indian companies also would like to do that.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank
you. The next question is from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for taking my question again. So just wanted to understand one thing from a fundamental perspective. Now, you did speak about lithium salts being imported at a cheap, I mean, at a very low rate from China. So just wanted to understand, if you are importing lithium salt from China, and if you add the other ingredients, if electrolyte, you make this electrolyte solution, can that be made in a cost-effective, simpler manner for a, let's say, a player with a large pocket? And if it's relatively simpler, then, I mean, what benefit do we have from the MUIS technological tie-up? Because what I understood is if we have the MUIS tie-up, you know, it should have posed a strong entry barrier for us for making the electrolytes. So just wanted to, you know, weigh both these things. So if you import the salt from China, is it very cost-effective for a player with a large pockets to make electrolytes?
So making electrolyte is where we have Mitsubishi technology. And, you know, the
Right.
quality of the electrolyte depends on, of course, the quality of the raw material and quality of how the electrolyte is made, correct? So the manufacturing process is what gives us an edge. And if anybody else also makes, like, you know, again, there would be errors or sometimes the process would not be efficient. So again, the cost of manufacturing also can go high. So, like, you know, so this is where Mitsubishi kind of technology comes in, and those two are independent questions.
Okay, sure, sir. So you are saying the quality, of course, will the MUIS technology will offer you a better quality and a better chance for an approval. That's
Yes.
what you're saying, right? And that's the edge. Basically, that's where the edge comes from. Okay, sure. Thanks, sir. Thanks.
And also, you know, it will
Yeah.
also give us more productivity. So their process is very efficient with 30 years. So therefore, actually, the operating cost also can be lower as compared to somebody else.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you for joining us today. We trust your queries have been addressed. For any additional questions, our investor relation team is available. We appreciate your time and look forward to connecting again next quarter. Thank you. Good evening for everyone and have a great day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Neogen Chemicals, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.